When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Two Out the First. It's February 5th, 2024. I'm Ryan Balaji. Thanks for joining us today. This show is being recorded fairly late in the day. So I got a dog over the weekend with my family. And we got her on Saturday afternoon. We named her Penny. Saturday morning. She is gorgeous. She's wonderful. If you follow me on Instagram, I also posted a picture on Twitter today of her. She's just great. I mean, she's a puppy. Don't get me wrong. She's a puppy. She's 3 months old. So lots of energy required to be able to kind of track her down. But she's been really fun so far. And the kids love her. And all of that is great. But my kids are also home today sick from school, so being able to get a whole lot of anything done with a puppy and two sick children was pretty much an impossible challenge. So here we are, 4 p.m. Eastern time recording this, kind of recapping a little bit of the weekend that was, but I wanted to get the show in today and just kind of chat it up a little bit. So we are presented by our friends at Swannies. Check them out, swannies.co. Use the promo code GolfNewsNet25 and save 25% on your first order. Lots of great looks for this time of year, and some new stuff that's coming out soon from Swannies is very, very exciting. I saw a bunch of it at the PGA Merchandise Show last week. Was that last week? 2 weeks ago? Whatever. Man, it goes fast. And it was really great to see what they're working on. I love where they're going with their line and all the cool stuff that they're working on. So check them out, swannies.co. Use that promo code, GolfNewsNet25. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about, it's kind of two things, right? I want to talk about the void that was created by the PGA Tour making ultimately what was the right decision and not playing golf on Sunday, and frankly not playing golf on Monday, and seeding the stage for golf viewers to live for Sunday. And I want to talk about a couple of things relating to that. Narrative around it, kind of change. It seemed like a palpable change in attitude from media members about it. At least some. I mean, not all, just some. And not what that might portend, because I don't think, if I'm being honest with you, and I'd like to believe I'm honest with you as often as I can be, if not every time. Being honest with you, I don't think that media really have much of an impact on the opinions of the golf public. And that probably happens in politics, but I think most people in politics and political media, they're just speaking to people who would already believe what they're saying or agree with what they're saying anyway. In golf, it's a little bit different. You know, there's not, up until a couple of years ago, politics wasn't a part of it. Human rights stuff wasn't really a part of it. Yes, it was with China and PGA Tour China and the Saudis having a DP World Tour event and Dubai and whatever you think about the UAE and Qatar and Bahrain and other governments that have human rights issues, serious human rights issues. But as at least as it related to the PGA Tour, your best gripe was having PGA Tour China. And really, that was operated by a third party anyhow. So I don't even think a lot of people even knew PGA Tour China existed until LIV came along. And then the LIV bots were like, well, what about PGA Tour China? You're doing business with the Communist Party of China. And they weren't, but whatever. So for me to be able to say what I want to say, you're not going to agree with me or disagree with me because of what I say to you, I don't think. I mean, I can make a good argument, I can have my views, but you're going to like LIV if you want to like LIV, and you're going to like the PGA Tour if you're going to like the PGA Tour, and you can like both. That's totally up to you. That's your choice, right? You can like one, none, all. Totally your call. And anything that I say will not, nor do I expect it to even remotely change your mind. That all said, I think the palpable difference in how people were describing what was happening in LIV's Mayakoba event on Sunday was very interesting to me, because it felt like for some people in golf media, it was a free pass to tweet about LIV, to give a hoot about LIV. And that if Pebble were going on, those same people probably wouldn't be talking about it in the same way. Probably my biggest example is the four play guys over at Barstool. Barstool has talked some about LIV. They didn't really talk about it too much last year or in the 8-event invitational series in 2022. It pretty much kind of stayed away from it, but it feels like they're tweeting about it a lot more this year. And again, you make your choices. It's up to you. But it feels like they've gotten quite a bit of brushback from people. And to the contrary, from some people who are like, thank you for talking about LIV. But seems like there's been quite a bit of brushback of, why are you guys talking about this all of a sudden? Why do you care about this now? What are you getting paid off? And I don't think they are, but maybe they could be. But I don't think they are. But why are you talking about this all of a sudden? You didn't care about it before, now you care about it, kind of thing. And, you know, there were a lot of people jumping down Kyle Porter's throat yesterday because he was watching LIV for an extended period of time for the first time. Works at CBS Sports. Great guy. Really like him. And on one hand, me reading is like, well, yeah, you can be complimentary of, I guess, LIV's broadcast and what they show and those types of things. And I want that to kind of be the second story today. Kind of some of the things that I think Sunday made apparent. But it was weird to see, like, oh, well, you can't, you know, he had a tweet, like, you can't call this an exhibition tour if you have a leaderboard like this. And I thought that was an interesting moment tweet. The folks at Fried Egg tried to point out some positive things about LIV, given that they know about, you know, have talked about all of the negatives around LIV, and maybe it was an important moment for LIV. I don't know. I don't have ratings data here at 4 p.m. on a Monday. Probably get it tomorrow, is my guess. But what that ratings number actually looks like for LIV, I think will tell you some of the story, because the truth of the matter is, golf Twitter, golf X, golf Instagram, golf Instagram is probably closer to real life than golf Twitter. Golf Twitter is not real life. Golf Twitter is people who are way too online, and we are all very geeky and have a very relatively small community of people who are tweeting consistently about golf. Instagram a little bit different, probably. Facebook a little bit different. Those are different types of communities. So what I saw from Twitter was very intriguing to me, because it felt like some people thought they had a free pass to talk about LIV outside of the context that's really important about it, which is that the Saudi government owns, what, 97% of it or 93% of it, whatever it is. And that the human rights situation in Saudi Arabia is still the same as it was before the cyclone thing rolled into Pebble Beach and caused Sunday to be canceled and Monday to not ever happen. And to try to kind of, it seems like there's at least yesterday, an increasing amount of, well, we could put that to the side and we'll talk about it as though it's completely normal and there's nothing wrong with it. And meanwhile, you have a tournament that admittedly was interesting. I mean, you had a four-hole playoff. Now, after like the second time they played the 18th hole, for those of you who didn't watch, Joaquin Neiman and Sergio Garcia got into a playoff. They played the 18th hole at Mayakoba, which is a very boring, straightforward, tight par four times in a row. Both are very bad putters, and they ultimately, finally, the fourth time of playing, Neiman birdied the hole. He should have won in regulation. He missed a basically straight in 8-footer to win the tournament in regulation. John Rahm gave it away, played a couple bad holes down the stretch, found a hazard, couldn't get it up and down from a fairway bunker to force a playoff, you know, those types of things. So, but the, you know, they had this opportunity at LIV to showcase their golfers. And I think people who were watching in the media, some of them took advantage of that as, okay, well, I can talk about LIV and it's fine. It's okay to talk about it. You do what you want to do, right? And if you were going to put the two things aside, the golf was the golf. After the second time they played 18, I was just begging for somebody to make a birdie and also begging for them to just tee off from 200 yards away from the green and just play us a par three and see what happens. And that, I think people appreciated the visual that did like what they saw of them having a fourth playoff hole, that Neiman and Garcia kind of had like a quick nod conversation of, do we play this? Do we agree to a tie? Do we play on Monday? Whatever that is. And they wind up playing the fourth hole. And then, you know, Garcia was the one who goaded Neiman into it. And then Neiman winds up winning, which I think is kind of funny. But you have all that. And you had at least a modest crowd there to watch it. I don't think a lot of people were there at all over the course of the week. And the interesting thing about LIV, the way they present it, is you know no one's there. Except maybe on the last couple holes, because everyone realizes who has a chance to win. And then the crowd that is there starts to go and follow the one or two groups that might have the winner in it, and everyone else has nobody watching, which I think is kind of funny. But that's the way LIV works. But again, the golf itself is fine. The broadcast, I think we need to talk about the stuff that what people saw, if you did watch LIV. So if you watch LIV, you watch the tournament with very few commercial breaks, very few stoppages. And that's because LIV has no sponsors. And CW gets to put in some breaks for their stations. But they really don't have a lot of sponsors. And so there is no reason to show commercials. Now that works to LIV's benefit on Sunday, because the comparison to the PGA Tour, which has an enormous rights deal with CBS, with Golf Channel, and they flood the programming with commercials. I mean, absolutely flood it. And it doesn't matter to the viewer why that is. Doesn't matter the economics of rights fees. They don't care. They saw a lot of golf shots. And if you're the PGA Tour and this thing continues, you have to find a way to show more golf shots. Lots more golf shots, and not put it behind an ESPN Plus subscription, which is lovely, but don't do that. Find a way to show more golf shots, not playing through, not any of that junk. Show golf shots. And one thing that was really stark to me, in not comparing PGA Tour to LIV, but today the NBA puts out that they are going to have a LED projection. I don't know exactly how it works. I didn't get to watch the full video. But an LED court for the All-Star game this weekend, which sounds awesome. They can put graphics on the court. They can change graphics. They can change the color. They can do interactive features, all kinds of really cool things. And that's for one single game that is effectively an exhibition race to 200. And we can't, golf as a sport cannot innovate beyond tracer, crappy playing through, and the overlays of the holes as players hit. That's the, basically, the current version of golf broadcasting, and CBS has added some things that have made it better. But a lot of the stuff that's come along in the last 5 years, 10 years, has been because Fox did it. For their couple of years, they showed the U.S. Open, and then it got adopted by everyone else. Because turns out, Fox may not have been the best, but they had some really good ideas. And a lot of them have been adopted and implemented. But we now have the opportunity to enhance what a golf telecast looks like, and we still aren't getting it. And to me, that's intensely frustrating. Because it's not like Liv is doing anything especially compelling. They have the constant leaderboard with, if you would just expand it enough to just show everyone's last name, it would look so much better. They show plenty of golf shots because they have no sponsors, but they are showing golf shots. They have the drone tracer. I don't know if it's the drone or a crane camera, but they have a tracer camera overhead. That's neat. I think that's cool. Nothing wrong with that. That's something that could be brought in. But what about on-course graphics? What about augmented reality? What about showing things that aren't just graphics on the screen, but taking people into what it's like on the golf course? That doesn't happen, and I don't understand why. There's so much money in golf media, golf rights right now. How is that not happening? How? It needs to be better. And that's across products. And then what you see from the propaganda piece of Liv is very strange to me. I think the music is still strange to me. It's not doing it for me. The team thing doesn't do it for me. And I don't think it does it for anybody else who's actually playing. I mean, for the guys who aren't a threat to win, the team thing's really cool because they can still make a sizable amount of money even though they have no shot of actually winning a tournament. And that's kind of their back-end payout, right? But for the players who are most likely to win, and you have 8 or 9 of them now, right? Of those players, they don't care. I mean, they like the team thing because they have someone singing their praises all the time. Oh, you know, it's great to be on your team, John. It's great to be on your team, DJ. Harold Varner III shot like 20 over par. Or whatever it was. It was not good. It was a lot over par for 3 rounds. But his team did okay because Dustin Johnson played okay. And some weeks it's going to be good enough his team to do okay in the standings. Now, they did change the format so all 4 scores count in the final round. So it's going to be a little bit harder. I think that's interesting. But if you still take all the things that you don't like, that I don't like about Liv, which is the music thing, I think it's the quality of the music just as much as it is music. I like listening to music on the golf course. I don't really mind, but like the EDM stuff is like the prevalence of it is just, it's too much. Like, go play something else. Like, give me a little bit of variety, something to work with there. If you're going to have a soundtrack to the round of golf, I don't mind that it's not quiet, but what you're playing stinks. The team logo thing, no, they're all bad. None of them are good. And yes, I think it's fair to point out that there are a lot of major professional sports franchises with ridiculous names and equally ridiculous logos that have been grandfathered in over the time and have been just more or less accepted because they have a built-in fan base. But I think Liv's general approach toward team golf absolutely fails because no one seems to care and it gets shoehorned in late in the tournament where they show some dude making a random birdie putt to bring, you know, the Crushers are in second place now. No one cared about that. No one was like, oh, thank God John Rahm's team won. That is not a draw for anybody because Liv tells you that it doesn't matter. That's not top of the leaderboard. It's the individual thing. If the team thing mattered, where they show the 2 leaderboards together, you would have the team thing up top. You don't. It doesn't matter. The fact that you have 2 players competing this year, one the entire season without a team, shows you that the team thing doesn't matter. The trying to shoehorn the GC and names and logos on, just stop it. If you're going to do it, do it. Don't do this stuff where you have these individual, you've already locked yourself in, but you have all of these individual tournaments. You have 13 individual tournaments. And in every single one of them, the thing that matters most is the individual. Not their team, not how they scored. Forget it. Doesn't matter. If you made every event a team event, made it more like collegiate golf, you might have something. And I've talked about this at different points over 2 years. But that still has not changed. Also, the commentary, the just kind of over the top, self-backpatting, like, oh, well, you know, we're so great. this is so awesome. This is really cool. You know, the tweets on screen, please stop with that. If you're going to try to be taken seriously, please stop with that junk. You know, oh, people are tweeting at us. No, stop that. Please stop. The one thing that kind of sums up the commentary piece of this that I thought was very fascinating is Dom Boulay, who played on the Asian tour. He interviewed Joaquin Niemann after he had won. And they were kind of having a quick sidebar. It wasn't really a sidebar, but they were trying to lead into the conversation. And Dom calls Niemann one of the best golfers on the planet. And I think it's unquestionable he's one of the best golfers on the planet. Certainly in the top 50 in the world. 50 to 60. Let's put him in that range. And Dom says something to the effect of, you know, you're one of the best players in the world. And Niemann, and I'm not sure with what tone he was trying to say this, but he said, but I'm not in the majors. I didn't know if that was a sarcastic thing or if it was a sad thing. I took it as a sad thing. I don't want to necessarily run with it all the way that like that because I wasn't entirely clear the tone of his voice there. But it sounded more sad to me. Like, but I'm not in the majors. Like, okay, cool. I'm one of the best players in the world, but I'm not in the majors. And then they tried to cheer him up. Like, you'll get in there. We know you're going to get in there. We know the Masters will get you in there. We know you're going to, it's going to change. Things are going to change. Like, don't, they haven't made up their mind yet. They kind of have made up their mind. They've told you this repeatedly. Now, they can change their mind, but Augusta will invite players they think are relevant to the tournament. And right now, maybe two players on LIV aren't being invited currently that probably have a decent claim to make. And that would be Taylor Gooch and Niemann. Everybody else, eh, whatever. If you were going to make it, you made it. If you got top 50 at the end of the year, you made it. If you're thinking about the PGA Championship, they tend to invite the 100 best players. So you might get a Niemann, you might get a Gooch. But that just the kind of rah-rah nature about it is, okay, well, and the pushback to a lot of my tweet about that quote was, but that's what the money was for. And those people's minds, you're never going to change. You're never going to figure out. They're all going to go, well, you knew this when you signed. Don't expect anything to be different now. Get over it. And I do think that is a fair point of view. Really do. If anything changes, I don't know that it, and we've talked about this, I don't even know that it works to LIV's favor. The official world golf ranking system would actually hurt LIV players in a myriad ways. One, they negatively view tournaments with fewer players now. 48, 54, doesn't matter. The PGA Tour's event was negatively affected by having 80 players this weekend. If they had the same field, same quality of field up top, but with 156 players, you would get close to 80-some-odd points for winning. The winner gets 72. Everybody means something. So, they are hurting themselves, the PGA Tour, by having fewer players in those signature events. You're going to experience the same thing on LIV. They have just changed how they dole out points in no-cut events. So the bottom 15% doesn't get points. Well, guess what? That drives down everyone's ranking because those players who don't get points, they're the ones who play the most. They're the ones who play more than 20 tournaments a year because they're the ones who need opportunities. They need chances. So they go and stink it up on LIV and then they go play Asian Tour events and bleh, they don't earn a bunch of points. So that drags down your field value every single time out. The only way that that system works is if you have 5 to 6 dominant players and they win everything. And if they win everything and then they win outside of it, maybe they win a major, then you have something. Otherwise, over the course of the season, you wind up actually worse off. And you are also negatively affected by playing a 14-event schedule, 13 of which are rated because the team championship can't count. They don't count team events. So you have 13 tournaments. You have to play 40 in a 2-year span to not get dinged by the official world golf ranking formula. And that's not to affect LIV players, that's to affect players who just don't have a lot of tournament starts, either because of injury or because they're relatively new. That's not going away. So that means If you don't want to be negatively affected, guess what your players have to do? They have to go play on the Asian Tour or the DP World Tour 7 times each year on top of the 14 they play, so their ranking is not negatively affected. You want that? Because that's not going to work out very good. We've been over this. But the cheerleading around the Fisher World Golf ranking thing, abandon ship on that. If you think you have a chance to get players into your live players into majors, say the top 5 or 6 players get in. That is your best chance. That is really your only chance, because the way the World Golf ranking works, just the way the formula works, it would not benefit live to have players get world ranking points. Sorry. You can argue about the validity of it however much you'd like. It doesn't matter. It will hurt them. So, if you want LIV players in the majors, you need to argue that the best players on LIV unto themselves, ranked unto themselves, get in. Top 5, top 6, whatever. Okay. Whatever. So, all that to say, I think some people got a taste of LIV this weekend that might have viewed it, but I don't know how many. We'll find that out probably tonight or tomorrow. We'll talk about that. We'll see if you couldn't have, I assume they beat last year, right? You had the whole day to yourself. I'm also curious how many people just happened to tune in to like nothing on CBS. Not because I think it beat LIV, maybe it did, but just how many people watched like the third round over again and were like, oh man, this is great. I'm very curious about that. So we'll see what that all means. And then we've got a big week ahead with the Phoenix Open. And a kind of head-to-head showdown, which I thought was pretty much a bad idea, because the Phoenix Open is tremendously well-attended, well-watched. People love it. I mean, people love that tournament. And you're going to try and compete in Las Vegas the weekend of the Super Bowl. We'll see. I'll leave it at that. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate it. If you are a praying person, please pray for us, because we have a puppy and she is very energetic and I love her so, but I will be quite tired for probably the next 6 months of my life until we kind of start figuring out how life with a dog works again after having a 13-year-old dog. So if not, then just leave a 5-star review for the show. Helps us reach more people. Shoot me an email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky @RyanBellingy. I'm on YouTube and Facebook at Ryan Ballingy Golf. Golf News Net, all those services at Golf News Net. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow.